Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. It's a rare accomplishment to publish a book before completing high school. Autumn Burton, a new graduate of the George Washington Carver Center for Arts and Technology, has done just that, and people are noticing. Burton's self-published Mirrors was her senior literary arts prime project at Carver. The book is a combination of short stories and nonfiction that focuses on issues of social justice, such as mass incarceration, human trafficking, and destruction of the environment, topics about which Burton is passionate and which she believes need more exposure. Burton won a Carver Literary Arts Vision and Artistry Writing Award this year for her work on Mirrors. And she's with us today to discuss what went into creating her book. Welcome, Autumn.
Thank you for having me.
Why did you choose to combine fiction stories with nonfiction?
Well, I've always been a lover of fiction. That's definitely what really prompted my interest into the literary world. Because I've always been interested in the adventures and the ability to connect with people I'd never met before. And that's exactly what the purpose of Mirrors is. It's to connect with people that you haven't met and realize that these human injustices are issues that we all have either witnessed or have faced ourselves and we can all empathize with. So I chose fiction so that way the readers could go on a journey with these characters and put themselves in shoes they might not have been in before. And then the nonfiction kind of brings that to home and brings the facts straight in front of them and shows them that these aren't just made up things. These are all issues that are going on right now as you're sitting here reading the book. So I felt like those two formats really kind of married the message of the entire book, which is to be able to empathize with others.
The topics that you cover are tough ones. How did you decide specifically what you wanted to include?
Of course, there's definitely a plethora of issues that we're going to see throughout the world, but I chose these topics because they were definitely extremely poignant human rights issues that I had witnessed through my research on what was going on in Baltimore and through my research of what's going on throughout the world. And there's definitely, like I said, many, many more that need to be covered, but these were some of the most poignant and the first ones I had come into contact in my research.
You mentioned issues around the world. In addition to Baltimore, the stories are based in Israel, Thailand, Brazil. How did you choose stories from those countries?
Well, of course, we're all experiencing these various issues, these human rights crises. It's a global epidemic. But the reason why I chose those countries was because I was focusing on particular instances of injustices that really paralleled the instances of injustice I had seen in Baltimore in the particular story I was writing. So I just found that those areas, basically, like the title says, mirrored what is going on in Baltimore. Like, for example, the story about Palestine is about the issue of the mass incarceration of youth by the Israeli government. And I found that very much paralleled the issue of political prisoners and just other prisoners that are mass incarcerated in Baltimore City. So that's just one example. And same thing with Brazil. They have a major issue of police brutality. And in Baltimore, we also see that quite often as well, unfortunately. So just those, I guess you could, in that sense, kind of say it was a bit random, but still, the mirror was definitely shining forth through those countries. So I chose those.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cass, speaking with Autumn Burton, recent graduate of George Washington Carver's Center for Arts and Technology. We're talking about her self-published book, Mirrors. For other writing, Burton has received gold medals from the NAACP's Afro-Academic Cultural, Technological, and Scientific Olympics competition in the poetry and critical essay categories. I'd like people to get a sense of how you write. Would you read us an excerpt?
Sure. With the sound of crashing waves and rapid samba, red and blue fireworks burst across the stage. The pink and blue light shoots into the sky above you as rapidly as the drums. You dance in aisles with people whose faces you cannot see, but whose heartbeats you can feel. The entire Maracanã Stadium thumps rapidly with scattered palpitations. Your own pulse is muted beneath the pasitas, high heels tip-tapping upon the stage. Their pink bikinis jingle with jewels like stars amongst the blue clouds puffing throughout the stadium. They dance as one body, and the crowd cheers as one voice, a mouth open like a circular stadium. The man beside you grabs your waist like he loves you, and your hips sway like you love him back. He gently brushes your cheek, moistened by the Brazilian heat, and slides you closer. You lift onto your tiptoes and allow your lips painted green to find his between the flashing lights. You close your eyes, forgetting to imagine what array of colors his face has been painted with, or what country he may be from. Instead, you taste the sweet mangoes that must have passed through his lips earlier. When your eyes open, it's raining rainbow. The lights brighten the faces around you. Instead of pulling off the confetti sticking to their cheeks, they dance. They dance like the world is watching. They dance as if that moment in the heart of Rio de Janeiro would come only once in a lifetime. And you would be, too, if your phone didn't keep vibrating.
What happens to the woman in that excerpt?
Well, this story was taken from my short story called The Exclusion Games. And The Exclusion Games is the title of The Exclusion Games is in reference to the name of the protest that went on right outside of the Rio Olympics in 2016. And the girl in that story finds out that her friend is outside and he's among the protesters that are surrounded by military police officers that are armed with machine guns and are spraying tear gas. And they're protesting, like I said, the injustice against the impoverished communities in Brazil that are displaced by the preparations to the Rio Olympics. So the girl goes out and she goes to save her friend and convince him to, I guess, end the protest. But unfortunately, she will find out that it won't be that easy, actually.
A good tease. People should read your book. What kind of reaction have you gotten to the book?
I've gotten widely positive reactions. And by positive, I don't just simply mean people saying, oh, I love it, it just sounds pretty, but rather that people are really understanding that these issues are happening right down the street from them, and they're also happening right around the world. People are realizing that there's so much more to what's going on right as we're standing here than, I guess, what meets the eye. And that's really all I've been wanting to happen. And my main goal with all these things is so that people realize that these issues definitely need to not only be recognized, but also people need to stand up and continue to be the activists that we all have the potential to become.
So you told us that you base each topic, a Baltimore story and a international story, mm-hmm. and the nonfiction reporting, all based on your research. Why do you present the nonfiction report last?
Well, the purpose of the fiction is to develop that sense of pathos, that sense of empathy and emotion, that we're going to go on this journey with the characters. And then the nonfiction kind of ties it all in together, like understands, like, wow, what I just read wasn't just a work of art, it wasn't just a work of some kid's imaginations, but rather this was ripped from the headlines, or this was, this is based off of statistics, this is all fact. So the purpose of the nonfiction is kind of the, I guess, that the candidness that we all need to understand that this wasn't just a figment of someone's imagination. This is very real. This is what's going on right now.
We're living at a time when people talk a lot about fake news, and you're deliberately juxtaposing fiction and nonfiction. Do you worry that people won't take it seriously for that reason?
The reason why I include the nonfiction was kind of because I was afraid that people wouldn't take the fiction as seriously as I hoped. But my main concern as far as my credibility really actually hasn't come from that, but rather my age. I was initially kind of afraid that, you know, the fact that I am only 17, people would think, oh, these are just some facts that some kid that thinks they understand, but they don't. She hasn't traveled the world, or she hasn't done this or that, or that sort of thing. But I found that people really haven't reacted that way at all. It's been more eye-opening and inspiring for people. People said, wow, you're 17, and you're telling me all these things. It's really inspiring. I want to go out and do that on my own. I want to go learn and help others. So to be honest, those concerns really haven't been really concerning, I guess, so far.
What are your plans now that you've graduated from Carver?
Well, I'm currently working as an intern at Johns Hopkins, where I'm helping with research on environmental health. But in the fall, I'll be entering the first year of college for myself at Duke University, North Carolina. So I will, now that I'm outside of high school, I will be traveling a bit. But on my breaks, I do plan on coming back to Baltimore and continuing to be an activist.
What do you plan to study at Duke?
I plan to study global environmental health and international public policy.
With an idea of eventually doing what?
I would like to become a foreign service officer specializing in working on to end the environmental injustices we see throughout the world.
I'd like you to read us part of your author's note from the introduction.
So my hope, dear reader, is to empower you by disproving the pessimistic prophecies for our generation. Please take advantage of our most powerful asset, open-mindedness and information.
That is a powerful message, and it gives the impression you have a very specific audience in mind. For whom did you write this book?
I definitely wrote this book for my generation, for the millennials. We're often viewed as this group of self-entitled children that really, not even children, but people who really aren't concerned about anything more than themselves. They aren't really concerned about making the world a better place, but rather just making it more fun. And there's a time and place for everything. So there, you know, our generation, we definitely are a fun-loving group of people, but we have so much technology available, so that isn't just for us, just for our enjoyment, but rather for helping to make it so that others can enjoy their lives. So I'm basically, in that author's note, I wanted my generation to know that just because the generations preceding us don't really have as high hopes for us, that we can disprove all of that by using the resources that they've made available and that we are continuing to make available to ourselves in order to continue to bring forth change within our world.
Well, congratulations on this book, and thanks for telling us about it.
Thank you so much for having me. This is great.
Autumn Burton, author and new graduate of George Washington Carver Center for Arts and Technology. Her book is titled Mirrors. Burton has a book signing July 8th at Greetings and Readings in Hunt Valley at 4 p.m. She'll also host a book talk at Red Emma's Bookstore and Coffee House the following week, July 11th, 7 p.m. And she'll read from her book at the Baltimore Racial Justice Action Network's public dialogue event on July 13th at the American Brewery Building. At the On the Record page at WIPR.org, we have a link to the Mirrors Facebook page with information about all those events, as well as where to buy Burton's book. Short break on the record, and when we come back, the third installment of More Than Words, a series about and reported by high school students in Baltimore. I'm Sheila Cass. Stay with us.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.